So many of you know my dad. Some of you don't. He pastored in California and in Idaho and Ohio, and is currently retired from pastoring, but he's still teaching and preaching wherever he can, serving the Lord. And if nothing else, I don't know what he's going to say this morning. I know he'll give you some good thoughts from God's Word. But if nothing else, let me challenge you from his life. Okay? You say, well, I'm 65. You know, I've been serving the Lord. It's time for me to hang it up. I beg to differ. Okay? We need to serve the Lord till he takes us home. And do all you can while you can. And I think my dad is a great example of that. So, Dad, you come on. I've taken 4 minutes of your time. You can't have extra 4 minutes, so when the bell rings, you'll be stampeded by junior church kids.
People keep asking me, how you feeling? And I tell them with my hands. And I appreciate the opportunity. I know that Gary loves to teach. He's a good teacher. Amen?
Amen.
I feel like an ecclesiastical cheerleader. But good to be with you folks. You've always treated us very well, and that's a reflection of the way that you've treated Gary and Deb and their troops. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to have a godly heritage. I was at a preacher's meeting in Athens, Ohio the other day, and they were talking about building a church, going together to start a new church, plant a church. And I was sharing with them how God has been so good to us, and all of our troops are serving the Lord. And one guy said, that's the greatest heritage you could ever have. Your kids are the only thing you can take to glory with you. Of course, they have to accept the Lord. But if you live before them, the greatest percentage of them will come to know the Lord as their Savior. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? One day, and my saying, I say this often, I'd like to finish well. How many would like to finish well? And do any of us know when our time is up? Nope. Don't know. Gary asked me this morning how old I was. It's pretty hard to keep track of me. And I told him, well, in a couple weeks I'll be 82 if I make it that far. And that wasn't in jest. None of us know. In our church up there where we're working, we've had 3 men recently die of heart attacks, just like that. Isn't it good to know that absent from the body, what is the rest of it? Present with the Lord. Take your Bible. Joshua. Joshua is one of my favorite people. I like Joshua. And I like his sidekick Caleb too, don't you? Those are two of the greatest people recorded in the Bible. Joshua, the first chapter. That's a good place to start. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, you know that therefore is an important word, therefore arise, go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And skip down to the 6th. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou, what's the word? Strong and what? Very what? Courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not dismayed, or be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Moses was taken home, wasn't he? He had led the children of Israel for how long? Over 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness, wanderings. And the Lord told Joshua, hey, whatever he's done, you can do. Well, that's pretty good commentary. And what are some of the things that God allowed Moses to do? Hey, how about crossing the Red Sea? That's not a bad deal. Of course, it was just, they knew where there was a spit of land and it was shallow there. Yeah, if you believe that, I've got some land in Florida, I'll tell you. No, it was a miracle. They went through dry shod and the waters closed and killed and destroyed Pharaoh's army. How about when they got thirsty? Anybody here ever been thirsty? Yeah, can you imagine 2 or 3 million people thirsty? How many buy bottled water? Cowards. But can you imagine when all those people got thirsty, God provided the water for them from the rock, from the rock. All kinds of wonderful miracles Moses performed. God had chosen Joshua to lead his people out of the wilderness. They've been there for 40 years unto the land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Milk and honey. Do you realize that they got to have cities which they hadn't built? They had orchards which they hadn't planted. They had all kinds of things because God gave it to them. You see, Canaan was a place, though, of conflict. It was not a final resting place for these people. A place of conflict, also a place of victory and blessing through God's power. Conquest by what? Faith. Faith. What's the definition of faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? What's the rest of that verse? Things not seen. Yeah, faith. If you can see, you don't have to exercise any faith. It's by walk by sight then, by victory. We want to deal with it a little bit today and throw in a couple of other things which might be pertinent to our situation here. What kind of a leader was Joshua? What kind of a leader was he? Well, he was a humble leader, that's for sure. And he wasn't pushing up the scale, up the stepping stones of higher place. He served as a second man to Moses for 40 years. Humble. Humble. I know a lot of people are humble and proud of it. But he walked in Moses' shadow for 40. Does that mean that he was a weak man? No. No, it doesn't. You can look back, not right now, but in Numbers, the 13th and 14th chapter, and they mention the fact that some of the characteristics of the land, the children of Anak were there. Who were these guys? Giants. Yeah, giants. I have a grandson down in Greenville. He's 4, I think. He is something else, I'll tell you. And sometimes he played David and Goliath. And he has that old sword and he swings that old sword and down goes Goliath. It's a good thing to teach your children the books of the Bible. I struggled for years learning the books of the Bible. You say, well, you're a pastor. You went to college. Yeah, baloney. I learned in a wonderful way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, hold the horse till I get on. Timothy, Titus, jump up and bite us. I mean, I had all kinds of wonderful cliches. Gary comes by it naturally, you can see that. But we need, incidentally, the way to learn the books of the Bible is a song. Let us sing the books of Moses. How many know that song? Hey, that's a good way to learn, isn't it? If you don't have to be able to sing, you do it either. But that's the way to do it. Well, going on, he was humble. He went, as we said, without any special recognition, which is a rare virtue. He wasn't climbing a corporate ladder. He was doing what God wanted him to do. God had a plan for him. He had spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. Compare the weak, immature Israelites, his people, and Joshua's experience in the wilderness. The immature, the old life of Egypt, the further they got away from it, and the further they got away from the Lord, the old lifestyle became more attractive. How many people, I haven't better ask that. But if you've known the Lord any length of time, when you get out of fellowship with the Lord, the things of this world look much more alluring than they used to. They do. It's amazing how our old lifestyle pops up. You can say, well, I got that all that sin under the blood, and Jesus has cleansed me from sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All. No exceptions. All. But if we take our eyes off him, this old lifestyle pops up. Because all of us have a sinful, Adamic nature. Saw a lady the other day coming out of Walmart, and she had a little girl, and this little girl was giving her a fit. Now, none of your children ever did this. And I'm always looking for opportunities to talk to people about the Lord. Are you? Yeah. And I said, ma'am, do you have any doubt in your mind that your child was born with a sinful Adamic nature? I don't know whether she's Christian or not, but I thought it was a good question. He says, yeah, I believe that, and that no book of directions came with it. What an opportunity to go on and share the Word of God. People say, I don't know of anybody. Hey, look around you. They're everywhere. We were down there at the beach, and it's amazing. People in that environment are so open to talking with you. They're open. If I asked this morning how many people here have witnessed to at least one person the last month, could you raise your hand? I've been at this a long, long time. And it breaks my heart when people take their eyes off the Lord and put them on something or someone else. And when that happens, trouble is brewing. Trouble's brewing. I can do what? All things. What's the rest of it? Through whom? Through Christ. In myself, I can do nothing. But he'll give us the help that we need. Some people today can have the same privileges, go through the same experiences, share some testings, the same testing. Some will emerge with bitterness and resentment. having learned nothing. While others will come through singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord. All baby believers died in the wilderness. Anyone 21 years of age and older, they died. They died. Be thou strong and very courageous. You notice that the Lord told Joshua this three times. Maybe he was a slow learner. We need to listen. Listen. I don't know. If you pardon a couple personal illustrations. I was 17 when I went off to college. My dad was not a Christian until I was a sophomore at the university studying for the ministry. He thought I was crazy to want to be a preacher. He said, man, academic work doesn't come very hard for you. You could be a doctor or a lawyer and make what? All kinds of money. If you're a lawyer here, please excuse me. But my dad loved me. The only year that we didn't have a work loan scholarship was our second year at the university. All my kids had work loan scholarships. Dr. Bob Sr. has said, if you fellows and girls and your parents will do the best you can, there's no reason why you have to drop out of school. It happened at that second year, the only year I didn't have a work loan scholarship. And my dad, he worked for the Erie Railroad. He sent me through school on his unemployment check. He loved me. He loved me. Yet I see so many folks who claim to know the Lord, and the things they have them instead of the other way around. Had a roommate, name was Al Finley. Al had an anonymous giver who paid his school bill every single month. He didn't know who it was, but someone picked up the tab. Of course, in those days, room, board, and tuition at Bob Jones was $365 for the year. That won't even pay a month this time. But gasoline was only 25 cents a gallon, too. Remember that. And I thought to myself, Lord, I'm having a tough time. And I go in J.Y. Smith under each of the stairways. There's a little room that they store stuff in. And I'd go there and I'd fall on my face and I'd cry, Lord, don't you have somebody like Al has? And the Lord said what? He doesn't make mistakes. All the kids worked hard and they all got through school. And we're, Carolyn and I, are rich people. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what's the rest of it? His righteousness and what? All these what? Things! Things! Gary pointed out, there's nothing wrong with nice house, nice car. But the question is, does it have you or do you have it? In America today, I'm afraid, I was talking to the bus director before Sunday school. And I said, didn't you guys used to have a dozen buses? He said, yeah. You know what his problem is? One of them, people who are willing to commit to spend 3 hours on a Saturday working a bus route. People will say, we're too busy. Too busy. Does this affect preachers? You bet. Strange it may seem, we're just like you guys. We have the same propensity. Same propensity. Be strong and very courageous. There's a common misconception that a Christian can build a bridge to spirituality by fervent prayer, or by sincerity, or by earnestness, or greater Bible study, or by zeal, or by personal holiness. But that's not the way. All of these things are just weapons when you're in the battle. If you doubt that you're in a battle, you are a prime target for Satan. We're in a fight, people. And the mission, the other night, the man talked about the Muslims. Wow. Does that make you a little bit anxious? And what did Jody say? You people, most of us in here maybe are not of childbearing age anymore, but if you are childbearing age, Jody says, get busy. I almost yell, practice what you preach, preacher. But we need to understand that the battle, we're not alone. Our circumstances are not an accident. I don't know where you are. I don't know your physical problems. We all have them. I'm in great shape for the shape I'm in. We all have problems. We all have economic problems. Any millionaires in the crowd? Let me see. Raise your hand if you're a millionaire. Boy, I'd faint dead away if I didn't raise your hand. But are we wealthy? Man, travel with me to Papua New Guinea where Jan and Mike are holding forth up there 7,000 feet up in the bush. Wow. A wealthy, unsaved man in Port Moresby, which is the capital of the island there, was drunk and he wrecked his car and he died. And those people, a group of them, got together and killed, murdered three women because they were guilty of witchcraft, which caused that man to have a wreck. Every one of you ladies ought to say, praise God, I was born and live in America. Amen. Only where the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is propagated do women have any kind of blessings. And these guys had sent word up to Ibai, where Jan and Mike are holding forth, and there was a man there, and they were protecting him because they said, we're going to get him and his family too. Wow. You know, our circumstances are no accident. All are engineered by God in order to make us advance in the Christian life. As you remember from the story, they were to line up The Jordan River was at flood stage. That meant it was overflowing its banks. If you're from Vermont, you'll understand that better. But the Ark of the Covenant, the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And until that first priest's foot hit the water, there was no miracles. But when their foot hit the water, they rolled back. They rolled back. Said, follow. You see, once they crossed the Jordan, there was no turning back. No turning back. How many Christians do you know, professing Christians do you know, who are no longer in a Bible-believing church? I bet you every single one of us here this morning could think of at least one person who one time walked with the Lord. Although Gary tells me that everyone in Tennessee is a Christian. And so the next question is, are you living it? And that's where they separate the men from the boys. We can have the same privileges. Not until the priest in the forefront of the line dipped their feet in the Jordan did the miracle occur. In the name of caution, unbelieving souls always ask questions like this. They want to know what can be done if God fails. I must confess, there on my knees in Smith's dormitory, that I would pray, Lord, supply my needs. And then I'd get up off my knees and try to figure out what I could do if God didn't answer my prayer. Are you that way? I asked the young man who's the pastor of the church we're helping. I said, do you ever doubt your salvation? He says, yep. Why do we doubt our salvation? Because we take our eyes off the Lord and put them on circumstances or people, or worst of all, upon ourselves. We need to walk the walk. Unless the believer dares to venture upon the promises and the power of God, he will never know whether the promises are true or the power is available. Life is not a picnic. Someone told me, you can't be a sissy and get old. Where are you today? If I started right here with this good-looking young man and asked him... My glasses are a little bit dirty, Stoddgren. But if I went around the room and had you stand and tell me, what's your relationship to the Lord Jesus, what would you say? What would you say? Father, thank thee for your goodness to us today. Thank thee for the record of this man, Joshua. Help us that we might have learned something this morning that'll help us to finish well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.